from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Cole Kubelik formerly played for Tommy Tuberville there at Auburn as a center, but now he's an analyst at ESPN and SEC Network, co-host of Mac and Cube at Jocks in Birmingham, again on X at Cole Kubelik. Cole, how's it going, man?
Pretty good, Gabe. Sorry, I'm a little behind today, but travel and childcare have my brain a little bit scrambled.
No, I get it. I understand. And you have to get yourself ready for tonight at the Memphis Touchdown Club at the Hilton Memphis. You excited to be coming into town?
Absolutely. I've heard great things about this club. I've spoken to some college football fans in Memphis a couple of times, not necessarily this group. Memphis has a great Auburn club, by the way. Wonderful people.
Right.
And I've spoken to them a few times. But I'm excited to get over there, talk some college football. It's obviously here as we are in game week for week zero. But, yeah, excited to see what everybody's thinking, what's on their minds, and talk some college football. It's going
to
be cool.
And I do have to say thank you. I know it was inadvertent. You were supposed to come in the spring, but you had some prior engagements that popped up. But I got to fill in for you, and your guy Tyler Siski, got to meet him along the way. I've had him on the show a couple of times since you inadvertently hooked us two up.
Siski is the man. One of those guys that has just really busted his rear end for a long time. And I just don't think he has any idea how much knowledge and how many stories and how much information that he has. And you're kind of seeing some of it start to trickle out on his show that he does every day. But he is he's an awesome human, and glad you guys got connected with him.
Yeah, did you guys got to play together at Auburn, right? At least briefly?
We did. We were together for a year, and then he transferred out. And then I stayed at Auburn. So when Tuberville came in, he moved on. I mean, he has
right.
since shared that story.
I've heard that story, yep.
Yeah, it's a good one. But, yeah, he went on and played, and then obviously had a great coaching career as well.
Yeah, how was the Tubbs experience, by the way, before we move on and get to sort of what's going to be, on the forefront with week zero on the way?
Hard, number one. I mean, they absolutely – this is back in – I hate to sound like grandpa here, but this is back in the days of, like, yeah, 20-hour rule wasn't really a real thing. I can remember the guy's name was E. Hawley. He was Tuberville's high school football coach. So he was, I guess now you would call him some sort of a general manager or sergeant at arms. You give him one of these creative titles. He kind of just managed things, and he would come in with these pieces of paper and he'd slam them down with these number two pencils. And he'd say, sign it. And nobody could talk back to him. And
right.
That was basically saying that, you know, we had, you know, gone by the 20-hour rule for the week, which is never real. As maybe two or
sure.
3 days we had 20 hours, but I mean, we went 11 straight days of 2-a-days. We had, I mean, we would practice for 21 periods and then go to the stadium and scrimmage, and they'd take the periods down. And we would just go until they were happy. In the first spring he was there, they beat us up pretty good. Unfortunately for guys like me, our strength program was conditioning for for the first off season, and we didn't start lifting for like 2 or 3 months. So my bench, I think, went from, I think I lost like 120 pounds on my max in one off because we just ran. And our strength coach, Kevin Yoxel, came from UCLA, and I was like, Coach, those, I understand Skip Hicks and Cade McNown and those track meets y'all are having out there are really cool, but like, I got Gerard Warren, and I got Marcus Stroud, and I got Cornelius Griffin, buddy. Like, I need to throw some weight around. So
it was
tough, but we got it kind of turned around, won the West Division our senior year, his second year, and ended up being a pretty positive.
Now, I will say this. When I was at Memphis, I got to play some of his teams at Cincinnati, and we kicked their ass. I'm going to be completely honest with you. but if he was coming around in this day and age with all that's like on the table with NIL and everything else, how do you think he would have managed that, or do you think he would have been able to manage that in today's day and age?
Well, as you've seen, he's a pretty slick talker. So I think he would probably be able to finagle some things and sort of figure it out. You know, he was always sort of that CEO coach. I can remember him riding the golf cart around practice a couple of times, talking to some of the boosters and whatnot, and go, he'd hold court with the media at like period three or four of practice. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, we're working over here. But he was just kind of trying to deliver a message and get some people on his side. So I think he could finagle a lot of it, and probably sweet talk a lot of people, and most importantly, get some of those boosters behind him, which is what you have to have.
Yeah, and are you surprised or not surprised he talked himself into being a politician?
Surprised that he went that route, just because I actually had a couple like real conversations with him when I was in school, and none of that ever came up. He didn't feel like he was somebody that had a real interest in it, or wanted to go into it, or wanted to be a part of it. And I thought when he sort of went to do the broadcasting thing, I was like, oh, he'll be perfect for that. He felt like that was something that, because he could just, he had stories and he could tell a story and he could obviously talk football and he's around some great teams and players and other coaches. And I was like, this will be great for him. But never thought politics was something that he was going to be a real thing for Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah. Now, week zero is on the way. We're going to have a game in Ireland. We're going to have Georgia Tech versus Florida State. Delaware State, it looks like they missed their flight this morning, but they're going to be out playing Hawaii here relatively soon. How excited are you? Are you like me where like all of the off-season discussion revolves around NIL and transfer portal and, the ACC and Florida State and Clemson, how's that litigation going? Conference realignment. Does that tire you out after a while? You just want to see ball play?
I've been tired of that stuff for quite some time now. And I have made the prediction that I think the first 3 weeks of this college football season are going to be the most watched ever for a couple of reasons. Number one, where those things that you mentioned, Gabe, will contribute to that, is that we've actually been talking about it. We have more of an NFL calendar model with college football, that there are portal windows, there's more coaching change, there's players changing teams. Then, of course, you have realignment, you have a new playoff system. There's a lot more just general buzz for non-diehards and reasons for them to be involved in college football in months that they normally would not have been. And then, too, I think there's guys like us that just give me a damn toss sweep. Like, I mean, give me an outside zone play. Like, I need to see a pressure off the edge. Like, just give me some kind of a football play where we're actually tackling and blocking and, like, trying to create positive yardage here. So, yeah, I think there's people like us that are like, I don't care who it is. I need to see some actual football. I don't want to know who's going where anymore. I don't want to know what conferences may be looking potentially at other teams that they might want to maybe possibly bring in one day. Like, let's just watch a little bit of ball here. So, yeah, I think for those reasons, you're probably going to get some of the biggest audiences we've ever seen to open a season.
Yeah, give me a Gus Malzahn buck sweep at UCF. Let me see what RJ Harvey has going. But let me holler at you about your alma mater. What do you think about Auburn heading into this year? It was an interesting offseason where you thought maybe they'd bring in a quarterback. But I was talking to Tyler about it, Tyler Siski, who I got to talk with at the Memphis Touchdown Club, and he's joined the show. But he said, you know, when it came to the quarterback room, Hugh had to manage it the right way. It's not that they didn't have the bankroll for it, but if you go get a million-dollar quarterback, you lose the rest of your depth, and he didn't really want to do that. So he's going to have Peyton Thorne again for a second year. Jarquez Hunter, really good running back. You bring in Cam Coleman as a freshman, a wide receiver, who was a five-star, and you expect big things out of him. What do you think about how Auburn's going to manage their season this year?
I think they will exceed expectations. Now, by how far is going to depend on some of those guys, some of those names you threw out, a couple of them freshmen, a couple of them that didn't play great football last year. So when you combine those two things, usually that equates to losses. I don't think Peyton Thorne has to be RG3 or, you know, Jaden Daniels or, you know, any Heisman Trophy candidate or winning quarterback for Auburn to have a lot of success. That wide receiver room is going to be totally different. And a lot of people just don't have a true understanding of how bad it was. They couldn't separate, Gabe.
Right.
Not only could they not get open, they couldn't even find space. And then on top of that, there were some difficult catches that could have been made. And I'm not saying that they were easy grabs that should have been made, but you got to help your quarterback out every now and then. Not very many of those went Auburn's way either. That could really change dramatically this upcoming season. I think the offensive line has a chance to be better. Connor Liu is a freshman center that started playing last year and looked really good. I think he can have a big year. You got a guy in Jeremiah Wright, who is a people mover, that finally is kind of ready to go. He's lost a little bit of weight. He understands the system now. He'll be at right guard. Dylan Wade bumps down from left tackle to left guard. The offensive line could be a little bit better also.
Yep.
And I think if Peyton Thorne goes out there and just orchestrates the offense, just goes out there and efficiently manages the offense. I know there's a negative connotation with that term, but not for me, there's not. And let some of these receivers make some plays. I mean, you got Keandre Lambert-Smith from Penn State that can go. You got a Robert Smith from Georgia State that can freaking play. He's a really good slot receiver that's dynamic, along with some of these freshmen. Now, all of a sudden, you got a legitimate receiving core. Jarquez Hunter, I'm glad you mentioned him, because almost nobody else is going into the season. And I think he's the most proven running back in the SEC right now. Yeah, nobody talks about him. So they saw what Peyton Thorne can do with his legs late last year. They'll build around that a little bit. And I think that offense got a chance to be a lot better than it was a season ago. I'm anxious to see what the defense looks like under DJ Durkin, because there are not a lot of game wreckers up front, but I think the linebackers could be solid. Some of that extra money you went and spent on the defensive line to bring some extra bodies in to make you more capable, probably for a longer season. And then you got some leadership in Jaron Thompson, a safety from Texas, along with a guy who's played a lot of football. So if DJ can get that defense, even about where it was last year, I think there is a chance Auburn could get to 7-8, long shot, 9 wins.
Yeah, now also in that state, we have Alabama. And I know you're with Greg McElroy every day at Jocks. I understand all that. But when we talk about that Alabama team, one thing I have been sort of latching on to and trying to push out there, I feel like the Kalen DeBoer experience moving off of Nick Saban, it sort of has put them in this weird spot where it feels like they're under the radar. Do you view it that way, or are you just, it's out front every day, you have to talk about it, or you know, you just don't feel as if they are a little bit undervalued heading into this season? Jalen Milroe, I really feel positive about him with Kalen DeBoer.
We definitely talk about him every day. I mean, that's just kind of what our audience wants, so we're going to try to deliver on that. But it has been this odd roller coaster of expectations that could be really good, or it's going to be really down, or we don't know. So,
oop, I think we lost him.
And to have this
there
realization,
we go, we got
that
back.
it can be never be anywhere close to as good as it has been. All right. Well, then all of a sudden they start learning about Kalen DeBoer, and Greg and I are both big fans of him, and they're like, well, hold on, maybe this guy can actually win some games. And I think a big part of that, honestly, was the recruiting. And I know that doesn't equate to winning now, but I think when Alabama fans saw that after all these kids hit the portal and a couple kids decommitted, that they were able to go get five-star Ryan Williams and five-star this guy, that guy, and go get a couple five-stars for the 25 class, like, oh, this thing's not going backwards. And then you are able to go get Caden Proctor back from Iowa,
yep,
and you bring in two proven head coaches that are also going to be on your staff, Maurice Lindquist, who's going to help the defense, and Kane Wong, who's going to manage the defense. Now, all of a sudden, the expectations are kind of back up again, where it's like, wait a minute, this guy won everywhere he's been. He's got a returning starting quarterback. Like, this defense works. It's a little bit different, but maybe it's better for today's college football. So I think the expectations now for them to be in the playoff and win a couple playoff games.
What do you think about Jalen Milroe's Heisman candidacy? Because that's something I am very, very forthright about. I think that's my favorite.
He has an opportunity, there's no doubt, when you're going to be able to stack numbers the way that he is, not just throwing the football, but obviously on the ground. And I think Kalen DeBoer is interesting, because I had the Sugar Bowl last year, and I talked to Ryan Grubb after the game, because if you remember that game, Penix actually ran the ball more than he had in the previous 6 or 7 games. And I said, have you just always had that? And he's like, listen, we don't want to call it with him, but we always carry it. They presented some opportunities for us to use it, so we went with it, and it ended up getting us a couple first downs. So this offense has some of that by design. They just might not lean on it or haven't had to lean on it. And with Penix and Jake Haner and guys like that, you haven't really needed to. My concern with him being able to do it, not the offensive line. I think that group will be good, has a chance to be great, but they haven't been together. Brailsford, the center from Washington, wasn't really there much in the spring. And then people just think Caden Proctor is going to be amazing. Well, he hadn't put a pad on since January 1. He didn't go through spring ball because he leaves and then he comes back. I think it's a receiver position. And I'm interested to see just kind of what that looks like because Kendrick Law is a freak show, but he's a little bit dinged up right now. There are not a lot of proven commodities. Ryan Williams, a true freshman, is going to play. There's another true freshman that's had a good fall camp. So can he just lean on that group? Do they bail him out? Do they get him out of trouble at a lot of different points in time during the season? I don't know how that's going to look. I think that might be the only thing that sort of slows him down because I've heard that his game has progressed. And that some areas that he struggled with throwing the football last year, he has vastly improved there. So I see no reason why he shouldn't be in the mix. I'll say that.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to get you ready for what you're going to deal with at the Memphis Touchdown Club tonight. Again, talking with Cole Kubelik at Cole Kubelik on X. University of Memphis, I mean, when we look at this football program, a lot of expectations, more expectations than even I was when I was there and we were competing for conference championships and, you know, potentially right there on the cusp of making New Year's Six Bowls. This year, you have that open spot for the college football playoff. What do you think about this team that's returning a whole bunch of starters?
You got a lot of skill back, and one thing that's never going to get too far away from a Ryan Silverfield coach team is the line of scrimmage.
Sure.
And let's be honest, Gabe, that's what has been probably the biggest issue across the board in college football. We don't see a ton of great offensive lines anymore. And I've said going into this season, like if you look at the SEC, I think the defensive line talent is as down as it's been in a decade across the board. So being able to maintain, hold on to those guys is something that's just not easy anymore. And it's always going to be an emphasis for Coach Silverfield because that's where he was brought up. He's an O-line coach at heart. So I think having that focus on the trenches and having been good there during his tenure is something that may put them a little bit ahead of the pack with the rest of the G5. And like I said, when you've got legitimate skill, a coaching staff that's spent a ton of time together, I think there's a lot of room to be excited. I think the schedule's manageable, but it's not a – I mean, there you go look at like a Liberty schedule and you wonder, okay, even if they run the table, like how are we going to be talking about them being in the playoff? Unless they're beating everybody by 50, it's not going to be a real conversation. So I think there are enough games that could grab some eyeballs that's not going to be an issue for this Memphis football team. I'm excited to see them because I think it's about as wide open as who is that best G5 team going into the season right now as it's been in quite some time. There's been times that we've said, oh, it's definitely Boise or it's definitely UCF or it's definitely an SMU. But we haven't really really had to search for a while about who that team might be. I think Memphis has as good a chance as anybody, and I'm excited to see how it plays out for them.
Yeah, and Boise State is one of those other teams, and it looks like that was a strange announcement we got over the weekend where Malachi Nelson, the guy who was supposed to be the heir apparent to Caleb Williams, ends up being
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The backup quarterback, and they're going to start Maddox Mattson. You know, to me, being a Memphis fan, being a Memphis alum, like that gave me a little bit of hope in the group of five, a little bit more hope, because you feel like that ceiling definitely lowered.
Well, you're saying that a lot of number one overall recruits don't transfer in and get beat out by a kid that's already there?
Does not happen, yes. Does not happen.
That's not something that's normal in today's college football. But I'm with you. I think you're going to have an opportunity to go steal some spotlights and steal some eyeballs because, as you brought up, somebody's getting in. Therefore, there will be more emphasis on that conversation this year. We're going to have to talk about it. We're going to want to talk about it. It's not going to be a for fun of what would this team potentially do if they were in this field. What would this team do if they played that schedule? It's going to be where you want to take it from the perspective of an SEC, Big Ten, ACC. Who are we going to be playing? Who are we going to see in the first round? And now there's going to be a conversation of they're going to get that chance to prove themselves. How many can they go pick off once they get into a playoff? So it's a more relevant conversation over the course of this entire year. And so you go get a couple of those big wins, and you're not just going to be talked about that week. You're going to be talked about for the entire season. So I think that's just one of the things that's going to make this season a little bit more exciting, a little bit more fun to discuss and follow.
Yeah, and then the final thing I know you'll be asked about tonight is, like, when we talk about Memphis, they've been passed up for realignment several times, whether it's Big 12. I think people are talking about ACC now, depending on what happens with them. But definitely you want to be a part of that big boy conversation, and they've never been able to get over the hump. But now you have FedEx NIL money. You have stadium renovations to the Liberty Bowl that are so needed, by the way. And this year it's going to be strange to see, like, all this expectation for this program, they're going to be playing in half a stadium. But that's going to be a question you're asked tonight. Like, how do you feel about this team potentially getting into a higher conference, getting into, sort of the spot that they want to be in the college football ranks?
It has been one that has been a head-scratcher for me through now multiple cycles. And, I mean, if you go back to the Big 12 scenario, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Smith essentially said, keep your TV revenue for three, 5 years, whatever it was.
Yeah. We'll pay our way in.
One of these leagues wouldn't have jumped on that right now. It feels like the temperature has, like, the goalpost has moved a little bit throughout the different waves of alignment. It used to just be, okay, what market are you in? Where do you rank? Okay, we need you. Let's go get you. Let's bring you in. Like, A&M in Missouri, when that happened, that was a massive part of what moved the meter. I don't think that's as important anymore. I think now it's more brand recognition, and it's more fit, and it's more, how can you just, from an overall perspective, make us better, make us more relevant? I felt like Memphis has offered that more than one time. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't taken place. But if it were to get going again, they have to be at the top of a lot of people's lists.
Yeah, and this is an inflection point this year. Because I always say, you control what you can control. And what you can control, if you get into the college football playoff, you make yourself, your brand recognition that much more valuable, and you make yourself that much more valuable as a athletic department in general. If you're able to get over the hump, make this the dream season, we'll see where the chips fall. But Cole, I appreciate the heck out of it, man. Thanks for carving out some time, and enjoy yourself tonight at the Hilton.
I will. I appreciate you having me, Gabe. Look forward to catching up again soon. Again, sorry about being a little bit tardy today.
All good, man. All good. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
That's Cole Kubelik, analyst at ESPN and SEC Network, also co-host of the Mac and Cube Show on Jocks in Birmingham. Now, we need to go ahead and grab a break and start up hour number two. And starting up hour number two, we'll bring on our good friend Jeff Calkins. He'll be next. Stick around.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quarterback pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.